Krishna. I welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for our Sunday festival. Let us show our gratitude and offer our welcome to my dear God brother Sarvabhauma Prabhu by very loudly chanting Hari Bol. Today we have sung this most beautiful prayer by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the land of Nadia, on the island of Godrum, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up the marketplace of the holy name, meant for the deliverance of all fallen souls. O men of faith, O men of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, O brothers, I beg this one request. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. Being careful to remain free of offenses, just take the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. And Krishna is the treasure of your life. Giving up all improper behavior, carry on your worldly duties only in relation to Krishna. The showing of compassion to all fallen souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna is the essence of all forms of religion. To understand the compassion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, nobody could hear because the sound is not loud enough. Hare Krishna. Can you hear? Hare Krishna. Cannot hear. We haven't used this temple hall for so long that he has forgot how to use the sound system. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Can you hear? Hare Krishna. You can still hear? Why didn't you do that at the beginning? Huh? Practicing. He's practicing. He wants everyone to know that he's not the controller. In Sri Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya gave Lord Nityananda these instructions. That whoever you meet, without discrimination of who they are, what they've done, what they're doing, where they've been, everyone is a pure spirit soul. In everyone's heart, love of Krishna is dwelling. It simply has to be awakened. Tell them this. Simply chant Hare Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear about Krishna and talk about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is the treasure of your life. If one simply takes these simple instructions to heart, they will achieve perfection. Whether they're great Vedic scholars or simple street sweepers, whether they are pious, magnanimous givers of charity, or whether they are criminals who have simply exploited and caused harm to others. Whether they're rich or they're poor, whether they're of any caste or any nationality or any race, this is the sure method of awakening Krishna's love. To simply have faith that Krishna is my mother, Krishna is my father, Krishna is my real wealth, Krishna is the treasure of my life, my very life and soul. To simply convince people of this, and then to chant the names of Krishna, to worship Krishna, and to speak about Krishna. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, and many of the other associates of Lord Chaitanya took this message as their life and soul. Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the closest, most loving, intimate relationship. We know Brajendra Nandana Jai, Sachi Shuta Hoilo Se, Balaram Hoilo Nithai, that Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda, appeared as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. Inseparable brothers. Nityananda Prabhu, after appearing in Eka Chakra, understood his mission. It was to help Lord Chaitanya promote this Nam Sankirtan movement. When he was only 12 years old, he arranged a sannyasi to take him away from his mother, his father, all of his loving family and friends, and go on pilgrimage. He went on this pilgrimage about 20 years. All the while, from the moment of his birth, he was simply living in separation of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. He would not even preach to anyone until he received the order from Lord Chaitanya to do so. And when he understood the Lord was calling for him from within his heart, he had just returned from Gaya. He began preaching Krishna Prema through Krishna Nam. Lord Nityananda Prabhu immediately. He left Vrindavan. At the time he was living at Shringarbhat on the bank of Yamuna in Sri Vrindavan Dham, playing in the waters of Yamuna River with the cowherd boys and the cows, completely absorbed in his leela of Lord Balaram. But as soon as he understood that Lord Chaitanya was waiting for him, he left Vrindavan, went to Navadvip. He met the Lord at the house of Nandanacharya, and from that day became constant associates. They were inseparable. So inseparable was Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya that Sachi Mata considered both of them her own sons. while that famous Nam Sankirtan was being performed in procession to the house of Chan Kazi. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his closest associates. Advaitacharya was dancing in one party of kirtan. Srivas Pandit was in another party of kirtan. But he looked at Lord Nityananda. And he understood Lord Nityananda Prabhu's heart. Even if the kirtan is just ahead or behind, he could not survive being separated from Lord Chaitanya. He said, Nitai, you will stay with me. I know that you cannot be separated from me. So through the whole procession, Gaur Nitai danced together, inseparable. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to take sannyas, first person he told was Nityananda Prabhu. And it was Nityananda Prabhu with just four others that went with Lord Chaitanya, because the Lord understood Nityananda Prabhu will not survive separate from me. They went to Puri together. When Lord Chaitanya decided to go on his South Indian tour, Nityananda Prabhu was the first to volunteer. I will go with you. I will be your servant. Lord Chaitanya said, how can I take you? I need a servant, someone who will obey me. I asked you to hold my danda while I bathed. After I went to see Kapoteshwar Mahadev, I was going to bathe in the Mahanadi River, and you broke my danda in three pieces and threw it in the river. What kind of servant is this? This was Nityananda Prabhu's love. He understood that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does he have to utilize these Varnashram principles to get respect as a sannyasi? Does the Lord need to take sannyas to get respect? And besides that, he took Ekadanda sannyas, just so that people would recognize him, which is the line that believes that God and the living entity are one in the liberated state. But a Vaishnava believes that the living entity is always the servant of the Lord and serves with body, mind, and soul, therefore carries three dandas. So he broke the danda in three, made it Vaishnava danda. But knowing the Lord would not be happy, he put it in the river. Hare Krishna. And Paramhamsa is beyond sannyas. The Lord is beyond. What to speak of Nityananda? Why is the Lord renouncing the goddess of fortune, Vishnu Priya? Why has the Lord renounced Sachi Devi, his beloved mother, Yashoda? He didn't like this sannyas. It was an expression of his ecstatic love. And the Lord knew this. It was very happy within his heart. But still, to show the world that people must live by their particular varnas and ashrams carefully, seeking the essence of pure love, he chastised Nityananda, I will not go with you. So Nityananda Prabhu for 2 years remained in Puri, daily waiting for Lord Chaitanya's return. He followed him up to Alalanath. There Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed Nam Sankirtan, and thousands and thousands of people from all the local villages came and danced and chant, and the Lord gave them all ecstatic love. Nityananda Prabhu was so happy. It was at that time that he prophesied. Seeing Lord Chaitanya's effect on the masses through this Nam Kirtan, he proclaimed, "In every town and village, my Lord, your name will be chanted." And through that compassionate vision of Lord Nityananda Prabhu was carefully preserved through parampara and under the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was dispatched from the land of Vrindavan to fulfill that prophecy by bringing the chanting of Krishna's holy names to all the continents on earth. In that spirit of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada had faith that everyone has love of God within their hearts. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhijeti Kodi Yayudavai. It wasn't just a verse that he memorized. It was his realization, his conviction, his complete faith that Krishna Prem is within the heart of every living being because it is the nature of the soul. And simply by chanting Krishna's names and associating with Krishna's devotees, this prem or love is awakened. With that faith in the holy name and the order of his guru, Prabhupada traveled around the world 13 times, beginning with nothing and no one, and was the instrument of the Lord to fulfill that prophecy. So Nityananda Prabhu was waiting 1 year, 2 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself expresses the nature of love and separation. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahena me. Feeling your separation, my Lord, a moment is appearing like 12 years or more. A moment seems like a yuga. And without your sight, the whole universal creation is a dreary void. This was Nityananda Prabhu's feelings of separation, waiting for the Lord to come so that they could dance together once again, take prasad together, speak about Krishna together, everything together. The Lord returned. But after some time, Lord Chaitanya gave Lord Nityananda another instruction. You are here in Jagannath Puri with me, enjoying very nicely, but there are so many conditioned souls suffering under the illusion of Maya without Krishna in Bengal. You should go and preach. Same message. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Siksha, Krishna Matta, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. Nityananda Prabhu took that instruction with enthusiasm as the very oceanic embodiment of compassion. He spent the rest of his days in Bengal, in separation from Lord Chaitanya, showing compassion to others. Srila Prabhupada writes, that the greatest service one can perform for the pleasure of the Lord is to show compassion to others. But to actually do that is a great sacrifice. Service is selfless. Lord Nityananda Prabhu left Puri, left Lord Chaitanya, left all those wonderful associates of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai. To preach in Bengal, where he had to encounter all kinds of dacoits and thieves. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he was given that order. And he left Vrindavan. He left Seva Kunj at Radha Damodar Temple. Not just to go to Bengal, but to go across two seas, three continents, to reach New York City. Left Vrindavan. And he even wrote in his diary, I am feeling so far from Vrindavan and my beloved deities, Radha Govinda, Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath. But I am feeling glad because I am executing the order of my spiritual master. So we see from these two examples and so many others that to show compassion to others is often a great sacrifice. Krishna's Lila is Madhurya, and Lord Chaitanya's is Audarya Lila. The difference is very subtle. Krishna and Balaram, in their Vrindavan Lila, they were especially showing the ultimate compassion by exchanging love with their own devotees. And through their pastimes for all time to come, to attract the conditioned souls' hearts back into their loving service. But really, we find in Krishna Balaram's pastimes, the loving exchanges are so much amongst the Brijavasis, or the Mathuravasis, or the Dwarkavasis. And as far as outsiders, it's mostly killing demons. But Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they broke open the seal of love of God. Krishna and Balaram, their lila was very much within the precincts of their purest, most ecstatic, loving devotees. But Gornitai, they went out to the public of the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga and performed their lila by giving entrance into Vrindavan through worshiping Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and speaking about Krishna. An example of Lord Balaram's compassion. Krishna was in Dwarka. Long time had passed, many years since he had left Vrindavan. From Mathura, on one occasion, he sent Uddhava to try to pacify them with some messages. And Uddhava promised he would try to get Krishna to return because he saw the plight of their separation. Actually, the acharyas teach us that one of the principal reasons Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan was to show Uddhava what real bhakti is about. Uddhava was the dearest friend of Krishna in Dwarka. Everyone in Dwarka recognized this, that he's associating with Krishna most confidentially, more than anyone else. But because he was so dear to Krishna, Krishna wanted to give him what was most dear to him, an understanding of what is Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan are suffering so much due to separation from me. To keep them alive, you go, Uddhav, and bring them my message. You can take my chariot. You can even wear some of my clothes, just so they know you are my bona fide representative. And they will hear you with great faith. Uddhav thought he was going on a mission of compassion. But what he found in Vrindavan was something he could never have expected. When he saw the condition of the Brijabasis, since Krishna left, practically none of them, they couldn't eat, they couldn't bathe, they couldn't perform their duties. They simply cried, absorbed in Krishna. What a state of samadhi. Some yogis can sit in their Himalayan retreats, still, without movement, without eating or sleeping, absorbed in the oneness of Brahman. But that is not even a drop from the ocean of absorption as the residents of Vrindavan who were absorbed in Krishna. There was not even a moment in their lives in all these years that their mind could possibly be diverted for a second from remembering Krishna with love. Each one remembered his beautiful features, his lotus-like eyes, his complexion like a monsoon rain cloud, his nose which was soft like a sesame flower, and lips that were red like the bimba fruit, his cheeks and his forehead, which were like illuminating full moons. His ears, which had earrings that were shaped like sharks. Krishna's neck, it swirled with lines, with the grace of a conch shell. His palms and his feet were pinkish in color, like a pink lotus flower. His teeth were like rows of pearls. His eyebrows were like bows, and his glances were like arrows that pierced the hearts of all of his devotees. His hair, shining black, as it curled around his beautiful, beautiful moon-like face. There was a small bejeweled crown on his hairs, and it was topped with a peacock feather, which was like a resplendent rainbow that illuminated all directions. His chest was wide, his waist was thin, his arms were so soft, and whoever they embraced, they melted around that devotee and melted their hearts. And when he stood in his threefold bending form of Tribhanga, placed his flute to his lips,
the ecstatic love of his heart would come through the medium of his breath into the holes of the flute and fill the entire atmosphere of Vrindavan. That song of the flute would enter through the ears and capture the hearts of all of his devotees. The gopis would abandon everything on the call of his flute. The cowherd boys would be thrilled with playful excitement at the song of his flute. The river Yamuna, which was flowing downstream, would come and start flowing upstream to where Krishna was standing, bringing lotus flowers to offer at his lotus feet. The calves who were suckling the milk from their mothers could no longer even drink. They would just be paralyzed. The only movement would be tears pouring from their eyes. His name is Hari, which means he steals. And his stealing is at its culmination when he plays his flute and steals the hearts of all of his devotees. And he would wear long garlands called Vaijayanti, which were made of the wild flowers of the forests of Vrindavan. And he had beautiful ornaments, pearl ornaments, gold ornaments, silver ornaments, lovely ankle bells given to him by Mother Yashoda. The gopis and the gopas, 24 hours a day, they were seeing that form. They were hearing his flute. They were hearing his sweet ambrosial words, his joking words, his words of play, his words of encouragement, his words of love. They echoed in the hearts of the Brijabasis again and again and again. And they constantly remembered his beautiful pastimes. His pastimes of killing all of the demons. Some of them they witnessed with their own eyes. Some of them they heard from others. But they were ever being reenacted within their hearts. This is samadhi. They didn't need a television set to watch the Krishna cartoon series. They didn't need to go to cinema house. They didn't need anything. It was all happening live in their hearts. It wasn't just a replay. Because of their love, Krishna and his bhava expansion, although he was long away in Dwarka, he was manifesting his darshan, speaking through them, playing his flute for them, and performing his pastimes for them, live, in person, within their hearts. And they were seeing that, tasting it, smelling it, hearing it, feeling it, with all of their spiritual senses. That is samadhi. The perfection of samadhi. Samadhi siddhir ishvara pranidhanat. The great yogi Patanjali, he has taught the world and all of his students that the perfection of samadhi is to be absorbed in surrender to Ishvara, to the Supreme Lord. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana sadavam bhajatesam. Krishna tells in Gita, the conclusion of the chapter describing Astanga Yoga, that of all yogis, one who is absorbed in me with faith and devotion is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. This is the residence of Vrindavan. They're absorbed in Krishna. But by Krishna's own will, to increase
the experience of their love to the highest states where they cannot forget him ever. The Vrijavasis couldn't sleep. They were so absorbed in Krishna. And if they did sleep, they only dreamed of Krishna. Day and night. How did they live for so many years, sometimes without even eating or sleeping? Just nourished by Krishna, by the feelings of separation. Because in that mood of separation, although it appears to be the most blazing fire of pain, it's actually the deepest ocean of ecstasy. Because in that separation, the absorption and the intensity is greater. Lord Chaitanya taught that Krishna loved the residents of Vrindavan supremely because they loved him supremely. Would he ever make them suffer? But why they had to suffer so many years weeping? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that the moment Krishna left with Akrura for Mathura, the gopis cried for the rest of their lives. But in that apparent pain, there was the highest pleasure because there was the deepest absorption. And Krishna accepts our hearts. The Vrijavasis were offering the greatest extent of their love in their separation from Krishna. And Krishna knew all they wanted is unconditionally to offer their love. Krishna was actually satisfying all their desires. When Uddhava saw them in their state of love and separation, his realization, I have no love for Krishna. Nothing. Now some of us, we think, I love Krishna. I've been chanting for 10, 12, 15 years, maybe even 20 years. And I've been following the regulative principles and I wear tilak every day. And I love Krishna. But when Uddhava saw what real love of Krishna is, his realization was, I have no love for Krishna. Now I know what is love for Krishna. Uddhav was willing, he was praying. Not only willing, he was praying. And when a great person like this prays to God, God fulfills their prayer. Yes? Sometimes we pray to Krishna, take away everything, Krishna, so that I'll only have you. But if you really believed that he's going to do it, would you honestly be praying like that? We're praying like that thinking that Krishna will like me for praying like this. But of course he's not going to actually do it. Sometimes we read the prayers of the acharyas and we read it with great enthusiasm. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, my mind, my manaso, deho, geho, jo kichu mor. My body, my mind, my home, my words, my family, my wealth, my everything, I surrender to you, Krishna. Take it all. If you want to kill me or protect me, I don't have any preference. Just do what you like with me. Hare Krishna. Now we sing these prayers. When we sing these prayers, we're praying. We're stating our case before the Lord. Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, these great acharyas, they're tricking us. We sing these prayers right before the deity. My Lord, take away everything. I'm yours. And we're thinking,
we're just repeating their prayers, but it's coming from our mouths. They're very dangerous prayers, he says. But really, think about it. Honestly, when you stand before the Lord with folded hands and pray, let me follow in the footsteps of the gopis, I'm willing to abandon everything for you, my Lord. Yasyaham anagrinami harisheta dhanam shanai. My Lord, when you show special mercy, you may take away everything, so I have nothing but you left in my life, my friends, my family, my wealth, my health. Everything's gone. All I have is you, my Lord. That's when you show your mercy. And yet we're praying for mercy. Haribo. One of several things is happening. Either we are just coasting along with what we're supposed to be doing with our prayers, or we're praying, but we don't really believe he's going to do it. Hare Krishna. But Uddhav, he believed. Not only believed, he knew with all certainty. Whatever he prayed, Krishna was going to fulfill. And what was his prayer? Let me give up my post as a crown, as a great prince in Dwarka, as your constant associate, sitting with you, joking with you, playing with you, speaking philosophy with you, advising you in political affairs. In so many ways, they were best of friends. I'm willing to leave all that behind, Krishna. Just let me be a little plant growing from the ground of Brajbhumi. And even though you're not even here, the servants of the gopis, they may step on my head with their feet. Because obviously, they're so humble. If I ask for the dust of their feet as the prince of Dwarka, they will be totally ashamed. They'll run away. I don't want to embarrass them. That would be worse than death to embarrass them. So let me be just in the disguise of a little creeper so that they'll step on my head. And when I get the dust of their feet, then some of their love will come into my heart. That is my prayer. And Krishna fulfilled his prayer. Uddhava became a creeper in the ground of Vrindavan, where he's still there. He never wants to leave that position. That is a Vaishnav. Such absorption. When Uddhava came back to Dwarka, he explained to Krishna the Uddhava Sandesh by Rupa Goswami, that I know why you sent me there, out of your mercy to me. I was supposed to give a message to pacify them, but really the message was to me, to see the quality of their love. Why don't you go back, Krishna? How they're crying in separation. Krishna didn't go back. And then years later, in Dwarka, Balaram Nityananda Prabhu was in the constant association of Krishna. But he felt compassion for the residents of Vrindavan. And he decided to go to Vrindavan with the blessings and the permission of Krishna. Our acharyas explain that Krishna wanted to go to Vrindavan to see his devotees. But why didn't he go? Why he sent Balaram instead? The reason? Because his loving devotees and family members of the Yadu dynasty, they knew the extent of the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and especially the gopis. And they knew that Krishna, his nature, is he becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees. If Krishna were to go back to Vrindavan, the love of the Brijavasis would conquer his heart. They would never allow him to go to leave again. And he would never be able to leave again. And it was a reality. So therefore, with their love, they kept him in Dwarka. Because Krishna followed etiquette very nicely. He had his father and mother, Vasudev, Devaki, and there was Ugrasena, who was a king. And Krishna would take blessings from them as well. He was in his Dwarka Leela. Vrindavan Leela, he's very mischievous. He would take blessings, but then do opposite things. That is Braj Leela. But in Dwarka Leela, Krishna was very much exemplary. He would never get the blessings of the residents of the Yadu dynasty to go to Vrindavan. Because they loved him. They would never survive never seeing him again. So therefore Krishna could not go. Because the Yadus could not live without him. And the Brijabasis could not live without him. And Balaram could not live without him. But he left. Hare Krishna. He went to Vrindavan to show compassion to the Brijabasis. Just like Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was willing to leave the company of Lord Chaitanya, the greatest sacrifice we can never imagine, to give you and me Krishna. To give you and me the holy name of Krishna and a ticket back home, back to Godhead. And the only price of that ticket is the faith to receive it. That's all. Thakur Bhaktivinod sings in that beautiful song, the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu is giving the highest of all treasures, elevation to Goloka Vrindavan. And what is the price? Krishna tells in Gita, Sarva Dharman Purityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevyo Moksha Isami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took that verse and made it so practical and simple for all of us. We're reading in today's beautiful song. You can carry on your same old activities. Just give up improper behavior. It's not so difficult. Just give up improper behavior. Carry on your worldly duties in relation to Krishna. And how do we do that? By chanting the holy name. Just have faith in these words and accept them. And Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, their causeless mercy will bring you back to Goloka Vrindavan. Parama Karuna, Pahundu Vijana, Nitai Gora Chandra. Supremely merciful, these two brothers. Lord Balaramji, for the pleasure of the Brijabasis, he left Dwarka. He was intoxicated.
with his enthusiasm to give them pleasure.
On his chariot, he arrived in Vrindavan, and there he was greeted first by Yashoda and Nanda, those who loved him with parental affection. And he bowed down to them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-powerful Balaram, who was the maintainer, sustainer, and supporter of all universal creation, he's bowing down to his devotees. And they embrace him because they see him. Although now he's a great warrior and prince of the Yadu dynasty, they don't see him like that. They still see him as a little cowherd boy. They put him on their laps and they embrace him and kiss him and soak him with their tears. And he reciprocates exactly according to their love, just like a little cowherd boy. As you approach the Lord reciprocates accordingly. And then the other older gopas and gopis, they were offering their blessings to him. After embracing him and weeping, they were blessing him. Because this is the way a parent or an elder shows their love to a child, traditionally. I don't know what you people do these days, but this is the natural outpour of an expression of a parent to a child, is to offer blessings. Yes, I have seen. Even if your son is a sannyasi, still you're going to, when they, you see them, you're just going to want to bless them. And Balaramji was lovingly receiving their blessings by offering them all respect. And to those who were his equals, he was embracing them with such equal affection. The cowherd boys, they played together, they jumped with one another, they wrestled with each other. They had the same relationship. Balaramji embraced them just like he would embrace them in the cowherd pastures of Vrindavan so many years before. And to others, he would shake their hands. And others who were junior to him, they would bow down and touch his feet, and he would give them blessings. In this way, Balaramji taught the principle of etiquette